Father. Your love ran red. Ran down that broken body of yours. The body that had been tortured and scourged and beaten. The body that was pierced to the tree. To that rugged cross. That love ran red down that cross. And onto the ground. Your blood was spilled for the remission of the sins of the world. All out of love. Lord, it's a price we can never repay. What you have done for us, we can never repay. And Lord, we can never love you in and of ourselves enough. But Lord, today we come before you with thankful hearts, with souls that have been redeemed. Lord, we are new creations in you. And by your love and by your grace and your mercy, we have righteousness bestowed upon us. Your righteousness. As if we had lived your life. Lord, help us to realize what you have done for us. And that the lives we now live in the flesh, we live for you. The lives we live right now are to be lived for you. And you alone. For your glory, for your will, and for your cause, the Great Commission. Now, Lord, as we open up your word, I ask you to open up our hearts and our minds to you. I ask you to speak to us this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Whew. We are going to continue in the Watchmen on the Wall series. I was asking God, you know, how much more do we have of this? And I think I'm down to my final two sermons in this series. But next week will be Trevor. And then the week after that, we'll probably finish out this Watchmen on the Wall series. Now, this series has been designed to encourage us, to give us courage. So we as the church in these last days, in this uncertain time for the world, that we can truly be the church as Christ meant us to be. So what we looked at first in this series was, I want faith like that. We looked at the greats in the faith, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the courage they had, the faith that they had, and realized the same faith that they have is what has been given to us. We have the same faith. It's just, will we exercise it? Will we live by it? I want faith like that. As individual believers, we each one are responsible for our walk with God and our faith before Him. And we want faith that is bold, courageous. Then we looked at running with the horses and how the horse is designed and created to carry men into battle and how magnificent they are when they do it. And it's just a beautiful thing to see what God created doing what it was created, designed to do. We have been recreated in Christ. We are new creations. We are designed and equipped to go and be His witnesses. And how beautiful it is, how beautiful are the feet of those who go to be His witnesses and preach the gospel of peace to those who are lost. Then we looked at what in the world is going on and what the world really needs. And we looked at what is happening around us, and the craziness is because of Romans chapter 1. That the world is under the judgment of Romans 1. And what they really need is to understand their sinful condition and what God requires men and women to do everywhere. To repent and come to Him and put their faith in His Son. Last week we looked at what the world really needs right now is a bold, obedient, and united church. Not a church here for our social programs. Not a church here for our comfort. Not a church here to do stuff for us. But no, a church ready to serve the Great Commission. a church that is more focused out there, those who are lost, than focused on in here. We need to be bold in this world with the truth, obedient to be His witnesses that He empowered us to be, and to be united in that cause. Today I want to speak on what the church is up against. As we are bold and obedient and united in the cause, what we are up against in this world, we need to have our eyes open and understand. This is not going to be easy. It'll be the hardest thing we ever have done as a church. We need to understand what we're up against. I want to pick up basically where I left off last week's sermon. The last closing point I had is the opening point I have today. First thing we are up against as a church is discontented believers in the church who do not want to truly serve the cause of Christ. Paul speaks about these people. They've always been in the church, and they will always be in the church. That's something we need to understand. Romans 16. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. We have been told to love one another, not to backbite, not to gossip, not to stab people in the back and cause. We're supposed to be united, loving each other. Note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such, do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, their own interests, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. The simple there meaning the simple in understanding Scripture. Because Scripture is very clear. When someone comes to you and they're critical and they're complaining and they're discontented and they're wanting to spread that for some reason, or they're having a problem with someone else in the church and they want you on their side instead of us being united. So they come to you behind the scenes or through phone calls or whatever, and they start complaining and they start spewing their poison into your ear. What are you supposed to do biblically? Stop, say stop. If Floyd was doing that with me, and Floyd hasn't, but if Floyd was doing that to me, first thing I'd say, Floyd, whoever you're having a problem with, have you gone and talked to them in love one-on-one? Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. Many times people have come to me as the pastor wanting to complain about somebody, and I'll stop them in my office and I'll say, wait a minute, have you gone and talked to this person? Well, no, I wanted to come talk to you. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you, in love, go talk to your brother or sister. See, too many people get discontented in the church because the church is not about them. They may get discontented with the leadership of the church or the ministry leaders of the church because they're not doing it the way they want it done. So they make phone calls. They talk to people and they start spreading their poison, their discontentment, their criticalness, and it seeps into your ear if you let it. And it can corrupt you. It can distort your way of thinking. If people have a justified biblical complaint, okay, then handle it biblically. Go to that person, or if you have a complaint about the church or for complaint about me as the pastor, come talk to me. Don't run behind the scenes. Don't be complaining to other people, trying to cause. You're doing what we talked about last week. You've been taken captive by Satan to do his will. His will is to bring division inside the body so that we are not united in the cause of Christ. As J.D. Farag said last week, stop it! Stop it. He actually said it much louder. Folks, this has always been in the church, and it always will be, until the church is raptured out. Pray for those that are like this. Hopefully they'll repent and they'll start obeying Scripture. But if they don't, avoid them. Do not give them your ear. Because as soon as you do, the poison will start to seep into you. And then four more, you know what? You're discontented. Your eyes are taken off of Christ. Don't do it. There are believers in the church who are always working behind the scenes, working and talking to others in the church, doing Satan's will. Paul wrote to this about to Timothy. Okay? They're trying to bring division inside the church. Don't let it happen. We have to understand this is a tactic of the enemy. We're coming up against this. Handle it biblically in love. Tell that person to repent. To go handle the situation biblically. The second thing we're up against as a church today in these end days, we are up against the unbelieving world. And a big part of that unbelieving world hates Jesus and His Word. There's unbelievers who don't really care, but there are some who literally hate the name of Jesus Christ. Hate the gospel. Psalms 2 says this, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and His anointed, His Messiah, His Christ, His Son, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. We will have no God over us. Cast them away. We hate them. We hate what they stand for. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision." We must understand that in the unbelieving world, we're to love. To share the truth. There's a hatred going to be out there for Christ, for the gospel, and even for us. I want to show you a video clip of an unbeliever. This is a Jewish rabbi in Israel. And he is studying, he put out a video in the response to two other Jews who are Messianic Jews. They believe in Jesus Christ. And they have been having a campaign where they're trying to get the big rabbis in Israel to have a kind debate for the Israeli people on who Jesus is. And this rabbi that they invited declined to do it. And then they put out a statement about who Jesus is. And this other rabbi put out this video. Now, it's all in Hebrew. So you have to read the subtitles. But the subtitles, not pretty. Go ahead. No work. Volume. Back it off and come back out. Because it was working before the service. That's okay. Just read the subtitles.
של פסולת שיוצא מהקיבה של בני אדם וחתולים וכלבים וערבות ונמרים רותחת מבעבד שם שמים אותו שם הוא נעלה של הרגון רגע זה כמרה זה לא הבאתם, אה? כל הכנסיות, כל הצלבים שלהם, הצלב הגדול הזה על הארה ובברזיל, מתפוצץ לרסיסים, לכל העולם, וכולם יראו את זה. כולם יראו את זה. ולהוציא את השקר של כולם החוצה. את השקר של המעצמות הזאת החוצה. שבשם כביכול מורה עולם, בשם כביכול יש הכתפן לחבות ולוקח את העבונות של כולם. של כולם את העבונות של כולם הוא ייקח. שום דבר כולכם תמונה כי יבוא לכם את התחול שאתם שם בנתם. איזה שטויות, כמה דבר בן אדם יכול להיות, כמה סתום בלום, כמה דביל ומפגר, אין מילים אחרות, בן אדם יכול להיות בשביל העם.
He's got an opinion, doesn't he? He hates Jesus. And he hates the followers. This man has called for Jewish Christians to be killed in Israel. There is going to be a hatred out there. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24, and Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places." You know, many Bible scholars, we've always taught this nation against nation. The word there that we get for nation is the same word we get can get ethnicity. Wow. Hey, when your tongue gets tied like that. Ethnic groups. But, you know, because most countries are based on their ethnics. There's very few ethnic group. Very few countries have multiple ethnic groups in them. So it's always been just nation against nation. But it's very interesting. It can also mean ethnic groups against ethnic groups. Wow. We're seeing that today, aren't we? Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. There's the days we're living right now. Verse 10. And then, when all that's going on, then many will be offended. Will betray one another and will hate one another. Who is he referencing here? Those who are hated for his namesake. Believers. Side the church. They're going to get offended with the truth. They're going to get offended that the church is not about them. They're going to get offended. Discontented. Then they'll betray one another. And will hate one another. We see that in the church today as well. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many for God, His Word, for His Son, Jesus Christ, their love will grow cold. Their love will grow cold for the church Christ established and died for. Their love will grow cold for the Great Commission of the church. Their love will grow cold for the gospel. Their love will grow to a point where it's getting so cold, they don't even care about sharing the gospel or their testimonies with the world. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Those who remain faithful, stay on target, loving the Lord, serving His cause, they will be saved in the end with the rapture of the church. They are showing that they are true believers because their love, their zeal, their passion for Christ does not get sidetracked. We are up against an unbelieving world that hates Jesus and His Word. So how do we respond to that? Well, there's that verse video I just showed you with the Jewish rabbi screaming. Well, here's the response from the two men that he was screaming about. Again, they're speaking in Hebrew because this is all in Israel, but listen, why you read the subtitles.
אדון בגדדי היקר, אנחנו מבינים שאתה קצת כועס, חלקנו גם פעם חשבנו כמוך. אתה אומנם מצטט יפה מאוד מהתלמוד, אבל הרעיון שאלוהים לוקח על הכתפיים הרחבות שלו את האבונות של כולנו, הוא לא רעיון זר ליהדות, אלא מגיע ישירות מהתנך היהודי שלנו. ראה לדוגמה זכריה י"ב, תהילים כ"ב וישעיהו נ"ג, המנבים על כך שאלוהים יגלה את עצמו לאנושות בדמותו של המשיח, על מנת לסבול איתנו, לסבול למעננו ולמות כקורבן בעבורנו ובעד חטאינו. ככה שלא נעבוד אותו מתוך פחד, כעס או כפייה דתית, אלא כי אנחנו אסירי תודה על מה שהוא באהבתו עשה עבורנו.
דוגמה נהדרת תוכל למצוא בישעיהו פרק נ"ג. אכן חוליינו הוא נשא ומכאובנו סבלם, ואנחנו חשבנו הוא נגוע, מוכה אלוהים ומעונה. והוא מחולל מפשענו, מדוקה מאבונותינו, מוסר שלומנו עליו, ובחבורתו נרפא לנו. כולנו קצון טעינו, איש לדרכו פנינו, ואדוני הפגיע בו את אבון כולנו.
אדון בגדדי, דרך ארץ קדמה לתורה, והכעס שלך, כל הכעס הזה שלך, הוא חטא. אבל גם אותו אלוהים לקח על הכתפיים הרחבות שלו.
אנחנו מבינים שאתה מייחל למותנו, אבל אנחנו לא כועסים עליך. ישוע לימד אותנו לאהוב את השונאים אותנו ולהתפלל עבור האויבים שלנו. אז אנחנו אוהבים אותך וסולחים לך. בדרך אגב, ההצעה שהצענו ליוסי מזרחי בזמנו לעשות דיבייט פומבי, לה הוא לצערנו סרב, עדיין פתוחה, גם לך.
Look at the first guy that was screaming. He was designed to bring glory to God, but he's not falling into the design, and he doesn't look. Would you want to sit down with him? But those who are doing what they were designed and created to do, and how beautiful it is to speak the truth of God, to speak the love of God in the face of such anger and hate. How do we respond as a church to the unbelieving world that hates Jesus, hates us? Matthew 5. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Just remember, when we don't show them anger back, we show them love like those two gentlemen did. We speak truth and just get ready, because the hate's coming. But realize, when you are persecuted, when you suffer because of your testimony of Jesus Christ, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Remember that. So far we have fellow believers causing divisions coming up against us as the true church. Two, now we have the unbelieving world that hates us coming up against us. Let's look at the third. We are up against the compromising, the corrupt, the dead, the lukewarm church, the false church as a whole. And that false church wants to redefine Jesus. Now, I got a clip of a pastor here. Now, I've had to shorten it down for sermon time, but I want you to listen to what he's saying about Jesus.
This brown-skinned Jewish rabbi had quite a lot to say about politics, or at least how we should apply our moral values to public life. Today, Jesus would have been the one celebrating the Black Lives Matter movement, shoulder to shoulder with his neighbors, especially those who are immigrants or refugees. Jesus would furiously defend our warming planet, regardless of whether that activism was popular. Jesus would stop at nothing to combat the inhumane treatment of families at the border. It's time to reintroduce this Jesus to our American churches. Too many churches, primarily white churches in our nation, excuse their silence by claiming they aren't political, that they don't have to weigh in on the extraordinary injustice we see all around us. You know what I have to say to that? Enough. I do believe in the separation of church and state, but not the separation of values.
To all you Arabs and Democrats, to go back where you came from.
Jesus is remembered for asking very powerful questions like, who is my neighbor and what is truth? Often directly to politicians. The religious right has forgotten the heart of Jesus' message and its focus on two specific issues. To be clear, to be a Christian is more than your stance on abortion and same-sex marriage.
Stay in the closet. Make sure your closet is in another closet.
To be a Christian is to fiercely defend your neighbor, including especially those who couldn't be more different than yourself. To be a Christian is to stand against white nationalism and the anti-Christ policies coming from the White House. There is no dancing around that fact. To defend the image of God in all circumstances is every Christian's calling. LGBTQ are all initials that stand for people who are beloved by God. All human life, whether at the border or in the womb, has dignity. Furthermore, women who have abortions are beloved by God. We have to go deeper in our thinking.
All right. I had to cut it down for time. It goes a lot longer, and there was more before it and more after that clip. But I could do a whole sermon series just on his 12-minute clip. They're redefining Jesus because they don't like the Jesus of the Bible. They want to take the gospel that is meant to save sinners and turn it into a social gospel where the church tries to fight all the social injustices in the world. But if you understand Scripture, the social injustices in the world are caused by sin, sinful man. There's only one cure for sin, that is the gospel. When you go to a doctor and you have cancer, do you want him to treat the symptoms of the cancer, or do you want him to treat the cancer? Cancer. So they want a social gospel. They don't mention sin when they're talking about their new Jesus. They don't mention the true gospel. They just mention that Jesus is love and we just need to love everybody. But true love, true godly agape love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So to truly love someone is to share the hard truths of we're sinners. You need a Savior. You need to repent. But no, see, they want to preach tolerance and that Jesus is just love and he just accepts everybody. No matter, there's no repentance required. They're redefining what it means to be a Christian. They said in that little clip that Jesus will be the first one to take part in the Black Lives Matter movement. I'll speak a little bit more about the Black Lives Matter movement here at the end. But really, would Jesus go with a group calling for the killing of police officers? Would he align himself shoulder to shoulder with that? With those who are causing riots and destructions, those Black Lives Matter officials who have called for the taking down of statues of Jesus and the burning of churches? A Black Lives Matter, according to their website, are huge proponents of abortion. They want abortion. Would Jesus align himself with a group like that? An anti-God group, an anti-Bible group? A pro-homosexual agenda group? Jesus is going to stand with that? You see, they're changing Jesus. They're redefining him into an image that is acceptable to the world. But you present the Jesus of the Bible. And that offends them. They hate it. This man is a liar. He said that Jesus went around asking very powerful questions, which is not a lie, but he said Jesus asked two questions of people. What is truth? And who is my neighbor? Did Jesus ask those two questions? No. Who said, who asked the question, what is truth? Pontius Pilate. Jesus wouldn't ask, what is the truth? He said he was the truth. Did Jesus say, who is my neighbor? No, a lawyer with the Pharisees asked that. Jesus would defend the warming planet. Hello, Jesus said he's going to burn it all up in the judgment. He said that the sinful groups, the lesbian, gays, bisexual, TQ, all those number, name, and letters, are the beloved of God. Now, that's an interesting term that he uses. What he's using is code for Jesus doesn't care about your sin. He loves everybody. If he had said he just loves the homosexual, I would have said, yes, he does. He loves them so much, he wants them to know the truth about their lifestyle and repent and be forgiven, be washed of their blood, washed by the blood of the Lamb, to be sanctified, to be justified. Because don't not be deceived. No homosexual, no sodomite will enter in the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible actually says. And such were some of you. We're not judging them. We're warning them. But he says they're the beloved. You know, there's only two people groups given that title in Scripture. The two chosen people groups of God. The Jews are called the beloved because he's chosen them. And those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God does love everybody. But to use that term beloved is saying what he's saying, and he is a huge supporter of same-sex marriage and homosexual. I looked this man up. Guess who supports his quote-unquote ministry? George Soros. So we're up against this. It sounds good. Yeah, let's just love each other. Let's not judge one another. But true love shares the truth. We are up against the lukewarm church, Revelation 3. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's not a Jesus that they look to. They don't like that Jesus. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and need and nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. The corrupt church. The compromising church, the corrupt church, the dead church, the lukewarm church, they're all the same thing. There's a false church out there today. And they want to redefine Jesus. How do we respond to that? Well, we remain the faithful church. Revelation 3. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. I know you're not strong. You're not a big church. You don't have a lot. You have a little strength. But I've set an open door for you. Because you have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. These enemies that are coming up against us one day, they will bow. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell in the earth. The rapture of the church. Before the tribulation period. So we are up against fellow believers who are serving themselves inside the church, causing division. We are up against an unbelieving world that literally hates what we stand for. We're up against a false church who's trying to redefine what we are. And who Jesus is. What the Bible actually says. And they're redefining the gospel into a gospel that cannot save a soul. And finally, we are up against a new world order forming before our very eyes. that wants to replace Christ, replace Jesus. Revelation 13. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet was like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon, we know this from Revelation 12, and the dragon is Satan. Satan gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. This is the rise of the Antichrist. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. You see, this Antichrist wants to replace Jesus Christ. Just as Satan wanted to be like the Most High. He's going to have a wound. How this comes about, we do not know. But what he's looking like he's trying to do is copy the resurrection. So people will believe he's the Christ. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. They worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" You see, there's a new world order coming, but it's already starting to be formed. I believe right before our eyes, right now. I can't go into every way, but I'm going to go into the way that's right now is seems to be the most visible, right there in front of us. A couple weeks ago, I talked about all the different movements and protests going around the world. We talked about their surface agendas, what they say they're really about. But then we went and we researched them and we looked at what their real agendas are, the agendas behind the surface agenda. Then we looked at the agenda of Satan behind all those agendas. Now, this Black Lives Matter is the most prominent one right now. And if you speak out truth about it, especially if it's against it, then you're going to be listed as a racist. No longer can you speak truth and facts because you're a racist. So guess what? I guess after this sermon, I'll be tagged as a racist. So be it. But let me be very honest with you, because there's enough media and other things, pastors out there lying. So I might as well speak the truth here. Black Lives Matter is not about Black Lives Matter. I've done the research. They're not about Black Lives Matter. How do I know? More black people are killed by black people than white people. Especially look at Chicago. Has Black Lives Matter ever gone to Chicago to protest against the black-on-black crime? No. Not once. Do you see the Black Lives Matter standing up for the black business owners whose stores are robbed and destroyed? No. Do you see Black Lives Matter protesting against the abortion rate of black babies? Do you know right now there are more black babies being aborted than born in the black community? That's what Margaret Singer, the one who started Planned Parenthood, she was a racist to the core. She started Planned Parenthood with the sole purpose of destroying black and brown babies. Black Lives Matter supports this organization. Why not? If Black Lives Matter, why are they killing millions of black children? Why don't they protest that? No, the only lies they seem to protest about are those that are killed by a white person. And even that is a lie. I'm not saying white people haven't killed black people. That happens. That police officer that killed the black man in Minneapolis, that happened. That's true. That was bad. But you know, they're trying to make it out like it's all police officers. And we have police officers that are connected to this church. One just left to go to work, right? To go put on a bulletproof vest and go out there and put his life on the line. Last year, 2019, FBI, DOJ, crime stats. How many black men were killed by unarmed black men killed by white police officers or just by police in general? There was 9. 9 last year. Do you know how many unarmed white men were killed by police? 19. That statistic is real. And those unarmed doesn't mean they weren't violent. Unarmed means they didn't have a gun. They might have a knife, they might have a pipe, they might have a brick, or they just might be physically bigger and powerful and able to kill you with their bare hands, charging officers. It doesn't mean they were just innocent people. Those are the statistics. It's the same for the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that. There's not this blanket racist covering of our systems, and especially the police force. Many of these towns where these protests are so anti-cop, the police departments are 60% African-American. They're black. It's a big lie, but if you keep saying the lie loud enough and long enough, people start to believe it. And that's what the Black Lives Matter is about. It's about undermining the nation, our laws, our system. Go to the next slide. They are about Marxism. They're about communism. Socialism is just the path to get there. It's the utopia that gets people to communism. Lenin said the fastest way to communism is socialism. Total government control. That's what the New World Order is going to be. Total government control under the Antichrist. They're already laying the foundations now. They're already getting used to us just taking orders from one elected official. And now they put out orders and they call them laws. Laws have to be passed by a legislative branch of government with consent of the people. One person, we don't have kings in this country, our government. You just don't put out an order and it's law. It's beyond being challenged. See, they're getting us ready. They're getting the world ready to take this new world order on. Why do they want the lawlessness and the disorder? Next slide. Because Satan wants it. Because you need lawlessness and disorder so he can bring the man of lawlessness on the scene. Foundation's being laid. And how do I know the foundation is being laid in these agendas, this violence that's going out, these demonstrations, these protests that are trying to undermine and bring socialism in, which will eventually bring Marxism and communism, total government control? They're trying to undermine their country. How do I know this is the spirit of Antichrist behind all this? Well, there's little things to look for. Little things, they slip up and they show their true agendas. One happened this last week. Go ahead, right there. Now, you'll have to click on it in a second and it'll start the video, but don't wait. Now, Jeff Bezos, the guy that owns Amazon, he supports them. He supports all this that's going on. He's made public statements, but they still hate him. And they're coming after him. So what did they do? They protested outside his personal home. Do you know what? They set up I have to say this correctly because my wife corrects me. Guillotine. I always want to say it like an American, guillotine, right? It's guillotine. French. They don't know how to spell or talk. So, guillotine. They set up a guillotine. Watch the video. Listen to what this guy says.
have no voice, the knives come out. That is all.
Emo put it down, Emo put it down when nobody around. Emo with the crowd, Emo where I'm down, Emo where I'm sure that stage I'm bound.
Now, if you didn't hear what the little guy, squeaky little voice said, he basically said, when you don't give in to what we want, you don't give in to our demands, then the knives come out. Wow. The knives come out. That is all. And then they set up a guillotine. Why this symbol? Why? Of all the things he could have set up, why this? Well, I believe with all my heart, because what is behind all this is the spirit of Antichrist, the agenda of Satan himself. Let me explain why I say this. Revelation 13. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, the false prophet. I'm just going to tell you that's what it is right now. You can go look in context later. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as not to worship him, the image of the beast, to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. He, the false prophet, gets people to worship the Antichrist. If you don't worship him, if you don't fall under his complete rule, then you are killed. How are they killed? Well, here, right there, it doesn't tell us how, but we do see a reference later in Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given, committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and not received his mark, the same description of those in chapter 13. So we can say, you know what? Here they beheaded believers for their testimony and for not receiving the mark. Well, maybe if they're beheading believers for not receiving the mark, then they're beheading everybody who doesn't receive the mark. I think that's a logical assumption. The guillotine. That's what they set up. If that doesn't scare you, wake you up, what we're up against here. The knives come out. People are screaming for believers to be dead. They hate what we represent. And they're slowly trying to order us to stop being the church. We're up against a new world order forming before our eyes that wants to replace Jesus. How do we respond? Can we stop this new world order? No. Can we stop the Antichrist from coming? No. So, what do we do? Ephesians 6. Put on the full armor of God, the belt of truth. Jesus is our truth. The breastplate of righteousness, because Jesus is our righteous covering. The shoes of peace. Jesus is our peace. We walk in His footsteps. We go where He tells us to go. The shield of faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. The helmet of salvation. Jesus is our salvation. The sword, which is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word that became flesh. We put ourselves, surround ourselves, Jesus Christ. The new world order is coming. But we are called to make our stand until the day Christ takes us out. So in closing, We have fellow believers causing divisions against us. We have the unbelieving world that hates us. We have the false church redefining Jesus and coming against us. And we have the new world order forming and wants to replace Jesus. And that is coming against us. We are being surrounded on all sides by those coming against what we stand for. Church, you must be aware of this. The time is long gone for going to walk in the park. This is the time of sorrows. This is a time of great cost. This is not a time to stick your head in a hole in the ground. What do we do? We look to Christ. We look to our Lord and our Savior. I want to close with Psalms 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help of him in God. Verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, the glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. Verse 5, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies in the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah. Folks, we have to have eyes to see what's happening, to awake and understand the times we're living, to be in the reality of what we face. But the reality that's even bigger than the reality we see around us is the reality of God Himself. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is sitting on the throne. If God be for us, who can be against us? We are to continue to love and share the truth. We understand who's coming up against us, but we understand we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities of darkness. And we only can do that by putting on the full armor of God. And fighting this war as good soldiers of Jesus Christ in a spiritual fight. Testifying as witnesses of the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. Before it's too late. Before we're taken home and we have no one else to share the gospel with anymore. I know many of you are sharing the gospel, and it's amazing. It's a joy to be sharing the truth of Jesus and what he's done for you. That's what our testimonies are about. It's a pleasure. It's a joy to talk about Jesus. But guess what? One day, we're not going to have that ability anymore to share with a lost person. That can only be done now. If you're not doing it now, you're missing out. We are here to be united in the cause of Christ. We are here to be a church in these last days to make our stand. They're all coming up against us. They're all making their stand. Let us make our stand. For the glory and the honor of our Lord and our Savior who died for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, I thank you for the grace of your people as I have gone over in time. But, Lord, I just pray that we understand what we're up against. But in you, Lord, all things are possible. With you standing with us, we can stand against anything. And, Lord, you've warned us they're going to hate us. They're going to persecute us. There's going to be a cost to making our stand for you, Lord. But, oh, no matter what the cost may be, how severe it may be in the future, Lord, the reward in heaven is greater. Your love is greater. Your grace is greater. We trust you with our lives, Lord. In these difficult and weird times, we trust you, Lord. We're ready to follow you. Wherever the Lamb will lead us, we're ready to follow. Let us be bold. Let us be obedient. Let us be united. Let us put on the full armor of God. Let us testify as witnesses, empowered by your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us make a stand, and such a stand. If this is to be the last hour of the church, Lord, let us make such a stand. Let us close the church age out. And the greatest stand that's ever been made. Let us glorify you. Let us serve you, Lord. Give us the honor of sacrificing and serving you. You're our Lord. You're our Savior. You're our King. We pray this in your name. Amen.